So you want to Uber it. You don't want
okay.
to
Oh, God. Yab, yab, gab, gab, gab. All they're doing is gabbing. You know what this is? This is the special edition Parker the Man podcast show 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, to my left, the birthday boy, Robert Lee Parker Jr.
Jr.
To my right, Bernie Fratto. We, you know what we are in?
What, Las Vegas?
Full effect.
Oh, we're in full effect.
Listen, are we going to be taking calls tonight? Because everything you want to know, everything you want to know about the Parker and the Man Show, you can call in and ask.
We are, in fact, in Las Vegas. Rob decided to come in for his little birthday celebration, now that he's Mr. Los Angeles. And we're at La Comida. I'm giving La Comida.
Let's not bury the, we just buried the lead.
Well,
that's me.
As they say in Italian, mazel tov to our good man Rob Parker, who just landed a plum gig living in La La Land. You ever run into Ryan Gosling, by the way? Or
No, not yet.
Well, I was going to. Here's what I thought we would do on this thing. I thought we would go around the room here and everybody update what's going on. Not just to plug your stuff, but just to update what's happening. I figured this out. Pretty much since 1998, we had done something on the air somewhere for over the years. Even in when we went back out at DFN in 2014, we did the podcast in 13. In 15, we did a couple of, we replaced Matt Shepard a couple of times back on DFN. So we didn't do anything in 16 at all. 2016 went un-Parker and the Man.
Yeah, because nobody was offering us $40 to do a show.
There's no money. No, it's not true. You were doing your thing. I'm doing my thing. Bernie's been out here now.
$40. $40.
And a mule. $40 and a mule. And Bernie, you have now been out here come Super Bowl February.
Right.
I think 7 years?
Exactly right. February 6th, 2010, I've been here.
You drove on Super Bowl Sunday, right?
I left on Super Bowl Sunday when Drew Brees beat Peyton Manning. I believe it was Super Bowl 41.
Can I say this?
No, 44. 44.
Can I say this? I was the only person on ESPN who predicted that the Saints would win by 2 touchdowns. People thought I was crazy. Like, dude, nobody else has them by 2 touchdowns. And, of course, when Peyton Manning threw the pick six, the final score was 2 touchdown game.
And you remember that?
I do. I remember it because everybody was dogging me.
I remember Tuesday, and you remember
everybody
that.
Was dogging me for picking a 2 touch. You know, a double, 14 points was a big number.
Well, that's child's play. I remember. I've been with you guys a minute. Let's go back to June 2004. You're one of the few people that had the Lakers falling to the Pistons in what we now call the five-game sweep. You talked about them doing with defense and containing Kobe. In Joe D, we trust. That team was constructed. Chauncey Billups, if it ain't rough, it ain't right. Or was that Rip, right? And you also, 2 years later, much to the chagrin, and as soon as I get home, I'm going to look that word up.
Chagrin?
Of the Detroit Tiger faithful, you had the Tigers falling to the St. Louis Cardinals, and they did 4-1.
Now, let me set up where we are, because I started to. We're at La Comida Restaurant, fine Mexican restaurant here in Las Vegas on 6th Street, downtown by the Fremont Street Experience. We're right basically at the corner of Fremont and 6th, which is right just a hop, skip, jump from Las Vegas Boulevard. That's where we are. We're at La Comida. Okay, I'm giving them a shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out, John. Shout out.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Go get El Comida.
La Comida. La Comida.
Go get La Comida.
Go get La Comida.
Hold on. We're joined by the legend, John O'Donnell, number one. There's a better name for it. In Las Vegas, out of 3,000 establishments.
Phonologist. He's a phonologist.
You know, I went to a thumologist once. My insurance didn't cover it, though.
Hey ho!
So this is a gentleman who I've known for years. Great guy. Everybody in town loves him. All the luminaries, another word I'll look up. Conor McGregor comes to town. He looks for John O'Donnell because it's all about it. John, say hello, John.
John, say hello. This is the Parker and the Man podcast. You, my friend, you, sir, are about to be on one of the biggest things you can ever be on with big timers.
Number one, 25 to 54.
I don't know. I'm making crap up as I go along.
Number one, 25 to 54, Detroit.
Big
Detroit
time.
Lions, free and post game show.
Big time.
I love it. Come see us here, La Comida, downtown, 6th and Fremont, Las Vegas, downtown, La Comida.
And your phonologist will be all over it.
I'll be all over it. Making margaritas.
Margaritas.
John will take care of you. John will take care of you.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Well, we have that too. That's down the street.
A little wow. Wow. All the hits are all we know. Jimmy Buffett.
So what we're doing, though, is we're updating everybody on what's going on. So Rob Parker now, people, the last time I think, I mean, people saw you, I guess, on the Channel 7 thing. John, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
But you decided, you were at Channel 7 doing the Channel 7, Channel 20 thing.
Right.
The duopoly that's over at WXYZ at Broadcast House. You know, it's almost, I almost want to go back and say, what have we done? I don't want to do 10 years ago, because it's been 10 years since we left 97.1. 10 years now since we left WKRK at the time, 97.1, long before they started as a sports station. We were doing great stuff over there as a hot talk station. Well, I miss those people. Those people were great. Dominski and Doyle.
We had a great run.
Michelle McCormick and Jessica. You know, I did a thing with Jess in Las Vegas in 2010-11.
What?
Gavin.
The whole
Flounder.
Shooting man.
Flounder.
Dude. I think he's out in Grand Rapids.
No.
No, he's got a show somewhere else.
Flounder's the biggest of us all. He's got his own morning show. It's called the Joe Show or something, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
I still got his phone number. I'm going to reach out to him.
You should.
And you know what could
happen?
His own
morning show.
A better guy.
He and this young lady do a show out there.
That's nice.
I know, because he was doing like a country station up in Grand Rapids.
No, he does kind of a wacky morning zoo.
Wacky.
Zany, kooky. But Flounder's doing the best of everybody. And I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud that Joe's doing well. I still call him Floundy. I mean, I can't help it.
I don't know his name, Joe. But
Joe Pesh.
Yeah, but Flounder is one of our favorites. And
check him out in Indianapolis.
Flaj is doing great, too. You know, he got the kid, and he's married, and Flaj is doing great. Gavin came to my going-away party at 24 Seconds Bar and Grill in Berkeley, and Gavin came
by. Shout out to Bob.
You know? Oh, yeah. Bob and Regina, they run a great place over there. You know,
they got 24 Seconds and the thing across the street
right now,
too. The Irish Bar.
Irish Pub, Patrick J's, named after his son. And that's a nice spot, too. So,
well, here's the thing. So, since we left CHB, we're at WCHB. That was 2008. Then the crisis hit. All the stuff went down. And then, you know, we advanced. We went back on the air. We did our podcast in 13. We did the Premier Sports Talk Network for a minute. We went over to DFN. And then we kind of just did our own individual projects. And since that time, Bernie's come out to Las Vegas, and he's Mr. Vegas. You've become like this Vegas entity in the sports world. So tell everybody what you're doing.
Well, I'm just glad to have a seat at the table. Well, that was like a nice John Candy reference there. You know, you just called me Mr. Vegas.
You're Mr. Vegas.
God rest his soul. Yes, I'm fortunate and blessed living in Las Vegas now for about 7 years. I'm with ESPN 1100 here in Las Vegas, host of Rebel Extra, the UNLV Pulse Game Show the last 6 years, and I get to make the rounds with all the local luminaries like Mitch and Pritch.
That's Mitch Moss and Mike Pritchard, who played in the NFL for many years.
Well, in the NFL for 10 years, as well as drafted 13th overall out of University of Colorado, played for the national championship team for Bill McCartney to beat Notre Dame, and comes from on with Brian Blessing, Mr. Hockey, right in the middle of the Vegas Golden Knights coming here, and you know, get to be on the various panels. It was on with Jay Cornegay, the Super Contest panel, and over at the Westgate, and then Chuck Esposito over at Sunset Station, where Dave Dye works right next door, former Detroit
Wildfire
news columnist. So it's, you know, a lot of Michiganders here in Las Vegas. It's great. You can even get a Coney Island dog here. You get a White Castle here. Stop by the D and see Derek Stevens in the D Hotel.
You got phony Coneys out here?
24 hours, too. Just like Detroit, 24 hours.
We got the real deal. Actual American Coney Island right in the D Hotel. I've had it myself. It is the real deal.
Andiamo's in there, too.
Andiamo's in there. By the way, there's a 7-Eleven on Las Vegas Boulevard. If you're so inclined, you get Faygo Pop in there.
You got Faygo at the 7-Eleven on Vegas Boulevard?
Got Faygo Pop. Now, you can't...
I did not know that.
Everything you want to know. By the way, I'm using that Carson reference because it is Rob's birthday. Rob, 29 and looking dapper, looking fly as hail, and got himself a nice Johnny Carson.
Well, I had the present for like years. Found it when I moved out here. And I was going through some boxes.
I don't want to say how long Mark's had the present, but Johnny Carson was still on NBC.
It was still on the air. Johnny was still alive and out of the air when I got that for him. I didn't even know what it was, and he opened up, it's a Johnny Carson. I think it is a DVD, right? It's not like a VHS tape or something?
Yeah, it's a
Betamax?
No, it's a laser disc.
The laser disc. Yeah, it's not
while we're at it, why don't we break into an impromptu version of The Amazing Karnak? Ghosts, Goblins, and Rod Marinelli. Repeat it, please.
Ghosts, Goblins, and Rod Marinelli.
All right.
Rip it open.
Name three things that go bump in the night.
Hey!
Oh!
Hey-o! Hi-o! We're trying to update the show. We're doing Carson bits. That's fantastic.
Way to stay relevant, Chubby.
Way to stay relevant, Chubby.
There you go.
Yeah, call me.
Some of the old great drops. Close the door. I'm trying to poop.
I get that all the time still on Facebook and Twitter. People just quote old drops.
But do you remember
what color panties she got on?
It was when somebody would fill in to do our show. We used to always say how hard it was because we were so dropped. You know what? Everything had a meaning and fit. And if you didn't really know it, it was and then you took over most of it. But it was hard at first. Remember that?
Laugh track. Of all the laugh track drops I've ever heard in radio.
That was William Clay Ford.
What got that? You know what? Everybody loved that. That was William Clay Ford.
I got... You know what? I had a really good relationship with Ford, with Mr. Ford. And we were joking about something, and he had that laugh. And I said, I got to take that laugh off and make it a thing. And we did, and to this day.
Well, this is Ernie Harwell. And then you had, come on, stop with that. Doug Collins. We had like all the... coaches and
that was all stuff for my TV stuff though.
The Doug Collins.
Ernie Harwell was from that.
But didn't you get the Doug Collins? Mark was interviewing him.
Stop with that.
And he asked about Otis Thorpe. And he was like, stop.
Was Otis Thorpe the reason this team did not go any further? And he got pissed and he said, Stop with that.
And everybody used to always say that. Whenever they used to love that drop. What was the other drop?
What's wrong with you people? Idiots.
I had sex with Mike Piazza.
Yeah,
those things,
right?
Come on.
That's right.
No, I just said it, so I guess maybe Ray could take that off for me.
What was the other one?
What? See, I can't remember all the drops. I told him, look, I came here to La Comida, and I said, hey, let's do a little podcast. So we were unprepared. We're doing this unprepared. You know, all these guys are doing podcasts now. Drew and Mike are doing a podcast. Drew and Mike and Maz. Maz is on the show. They're doing a little podcast. Everybody's doing podcasts.
What do you mean they own the show?
No, they're doing a show.
Oh.
They're doing their own podcast.
But Adam Carolla.
This is 2007.
Adam Carolla does a podcast.
Big time one. He's like the number one guy with all the podcasts.
He gets several hits a week.
You don't want to know something, though? And I'm going to say
stop.
I'm going to say this. Rob, do you remember the day? You know, I want to say it was like 2000 or 2001. This internet thing was just taking off. I don't know if you heard about it. Al Gore invented it. So this whole internet web thing was just kind of blowing up. And it was either Scott Herman from CBS or one of the bigwigs walks in our room and says, you guys, tonight's show will now be what we call podcasted. It'll be archived on the internet. You remember this?
Yep.
Now, the day before that, Rob, how would you, if I wanted to listen to a past show, how would I do it?
I don't remember.
You got a tape. You stuck a tape in a machine. You hit the play button. You listen to it. That was the day before. And CBS was using us as like a test case to see if the thing would work. And in the early days, you couldn't download, it wouldn't buffer, it took forever to hear it. It was just horrible. Yeah. Not today, it's different. I mean, today.
Glenn Miller played
song that made the hit parade.
Are we doing TV theme song Tuesday? What is this, Wednesday?
Wednesday had it made. Don't go today.
Hold on.
TV theme song, sports.
So I like to think we were one of the first, if not the... Maybe the sports junkies at JFK were, because we were the only two sports shows on the CBS chain at that time. We were one of the first to actually have shows archived on the internet, which you would now call podcasting. Did you know that?
Right. Well, the fabulous sports babe, a.k.a. Nancy Donnellan, she didn't have that.
Bernie, I'm telling you.
I know, Mark. Dude, I was there.
If like Jim Rome or the babe wanted to listen to their show, they had to put a tape in a machine and hit the play button. We were the first ones to, I don't remember the absolute first, but that's what he said. So, isn't this exciting?
Very much so. It's good to see you guys.
Still haven't told everybody the whole Fox thing, what's going on, since I said,
okay.
You know, you left Channel 7 Detroit, you were doing that, you were having a great time with that, too.
I love Mark. You know what? It was just an opportunity. I told Mark, we talked about it before I took the job, and just something that I wanted to try. And I wasn't going to just read scores and do that. So I tried a whole new concept. And I was happy with it. Mark, you know, you saw the stuff. I sent it to you. It was totally different off the charts. Totally different.
Graphics were great.
Great graphics, everything. And
shout out to Ray Templin for the graphics.
They were great. They jumped off the screen. Am I right? They were great.
Jumped off. I mean, as good as it gets.
As good as it gets. But, you know, an opportunity to come work with Skip Bayless. A lot of people, Skip Bayless, Mark, and Bernie called me the day it was announced that he was going to Fox. And he said, I always enjoy working with you. I would love to work with you again if you want to work with me. That's really how we got the ball rolling. And in the back of my head, Mark, you always know, because we always talked about it. That
we were in secret negotiation.
Right.
We didn't tell anybody.
Back in around early 2003, you started a sub at First Take with Stephen A. and
2003? Yeah. 2006. I wasn't at our...
We did the Pete Rose show.
No, but I wasn't with Steve. Stephen A. had his own show then. I was doing... Quite Frankly.
You were doing something.
Quite Frankly.
It was called Quite Frankly.
Right. Remember, we did what you call... Mark and I, we started first doing... Classic Now.
Cool Pizza?
ESPN's Classic, when they had the classic station.
Network. Mark and I was doing it with Josh Elliott. Right? And remember that? We were doing that.
There's still pieces on YouTube you can see.
Then I went to Stephen A's show after they canceled that show. And then I went to First Take in 2006 after Stephen A's show got canceled. Because I started with ESPN before First Take.
I remember it was well before 06 because when the Pete Rose book came out and you guys had and I had a classic debate about whether Rose should be in the Hall of Fame or not, and Terry Lieberman heard it, and that sort of opened the door. You guys opened the door for me.
But I put you on for that day, and Terry Lieberman, could, at that point, and of course, you hit the nail on the head because Terry Lieberman's from Cincinnati. Remember our old PD? So he was all in on that story, so he heard your argument or whatever, and he said, hey, that guy Bernie sounds good on the air. And I said to Mark, I said, Mark, are you cool with Bernie? Do you work with Bernie or whatever when I'm not around?
Well, we've told this story before. This is after I went through Art and other guys. Art couldn't do it a lot. Some other guys came out and tried out.
We wanted to have one guy.
Todd, and he was fine. A lot of the guys didn't.
Right, they're all
some guys didn't want to do it. Some guys couldn't do it. Art couldn't come down from Saginaw anyhow.
Right.
But then we found him. I didn't know.
Right. But you did a show with him or something, and Mark was like, He's good. And that was the end of it. I mean, we never had another sub after that. Right?
No.
I mean, you did a lot of shows because, remember, I was writing a column. I was traveling a lot.
Over 250 shows when you add it all up. But, Mark, see, all those years I was in Ann Arbor with TK, I would always bug Mark on opening day. And I know who you are, dude. I mean, starting like in 1995, literally.
I saw you at a bookstore. Remember bookstores? I saw you at a
bookstore. Borders Books in Novi. Borders Books. But I always remember, Rob,
that the floors are sticky. The
bookstores now. Not the other kind of bookstores, Rob.
I didn't know that, Rob, not only were you such a huge baseball fan, but really a true historian. You give a guy like Keith Olbermann a run for his money. So we are in the dugout, first base dugout, at Tiger Stadium in 1995. The first year I had a credential with the Tigers, and here's why I remember this so well, because the Yankees were getting ready to play the Mariners. The Mariners won like 118.
They won all those games. They set a record.
Won like 118 games that year. And I said, I liked the Mariners, and you said no. And I said, why? You said, pitching. I said, that's their strength. He goes, no, there's pitching, and there's playoff pitching. They haven't got power pitching. The strike zone shrinks in the playoffs. You can't finesse teams. Mark my words, Seattle's going down. I said, I don't know about all that. Seattle went down. I called you, but you were right. And that was kind of like the beginning. It was kind of like a Felix Unger, Oscar Madison moment. I had to give you your props. I said, you were right. We became friends. Then you went back to New York for a minute to write for Newsday before coming back and selling in Detroit.
But that's now over 20-something years ago. I can't believe it. Rob will say, that wasn't 20 years ago. That was like 1997.
So you're right. So that's really what got the ball rolling with Skip Bayless. And I did enjoy working with Skip all those years. Mark, you know what I always talked about Skip, that he was real deal guy. So anyway, and then, you know, some of the bosses there from First Take have moved over to Fox Sports 1. And I have been thrilled. I don't think I've been this happy in a long time with just the people I work for, the people I work with.
Let you do your own thing.
And they let me do my own thing, and they just, they want me. You know what I mean?
So you screw it up.
I'm not going to do that. Come on, Mark.
Don't F it up.
Don't put that out there. That's not going to happen.
No, put it out there so it doesn't happen.
It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So I'm thrilled, and now I'm doing Fox Sports Radio on Saturdays.
And it looks like, at least for now, a pretty regular gig.
I know I'm doing it at least through the Super Bowl, so another 4 weeks. And
it says.
I got another partner named Mark. Mark Willard.
Mark Willard. That's it. Had the deal was it had to be a Mark W I L.
Is his nickname Rats?
Rats Willard.
I always go, hey Mark. You know, it's like old time.
Caller on the radio.
Right. No, he doesn't know what it means, but I go, hey Mark. So I'm thoroughly enjoying Fox Sports One, Fox Sports Radio. Life is good.
I'm looking forward to see what happens with baseball with you, if how much baseball you might be getting into there.
I got a meeting coming up pretty soon. I'm hoping to do some baseball coverage.
I know this is not going to be a year where you're not going to do something on baseball when you've got either the Fox entity or the Fox chain at your disposal now to get to what you really would love to do, which is the meat of baseball season, right?
You know it. I would love to get involved, so we'll see how it works out, but I'm definitely interested.
You know, and Bernie's kind of downplaying how big he is out here. He kind of just glossed over the Rebel Extra Show. Well, the Rebel Extra Show is the UNLV basketball, which, of course, is king. Until the Vegas Golden Knights start later this year, and even after that, probably for a while, University of Nevada, Las Vegas basketball is still the king in this town. Still rules. Jerry Tarkanian's long gone, but it still rules even with Marvin Menzies as the head coach.
Well, the UNLV Runner Rebels are a longtime national brand. Let's give them their due. National championship in 1980, beat Duke. They sort of put Duke on the map. The two Lockhorns again the following year. They've been to five Final Fours. Yeah, Tark the Shark, the Runner Rebels, and going through a transition right now. When you consider the fact there are over 331 colleges playing Division I basketball in the history of NCAA Division I basketball since 1939, there's only been about 30 teams that have actually won a national championship, and UNLV is one of them. So, yeah, it's still a great show in town here at the Thomas and Mack.
But also, when you said earlier about doing all that stuff on the Lotus Broadcasting LV Network, that's three stations. ESPN 1100 is the hub.
Podcasted every day. Right. Every day.
And you can listen to it online at LVNetworkLink.com. It's all the stations right there.
LVSportsNetwork.com, yeah.
But he's on all sorts of shows. I mean, Bernie will call me or text me and say, hey, I'm on with Pritch and Mitch. And then I'm on with Seton, Kokit, or whomever. He's on with everybody in this town. And you made a nice little niche for yourself.
It's been a lot of fun. And obviously, I've been very fortunate.
Where are you going?
Come from what I consider a major media market in Detroit all those years. Let's face it, Mark. The years we were there, I think Detroit was the number eight market. You got four, what I would consider, notorious, fairly prestigious sports teams. Maybe the Lions not so much since 1957, but you get the picture. And two Big Ten teams right around the corner. So when it comes to sports towns, it's pretty tough to beat Detroit. I have always said, and I will say it today, Detroit is the greatest sports town in America. But I will give a wink and a nod to Las Vegas as being the most exciting sports town in America, with the UFC and the boxing matches and all the regular other things that go along with it. Pretty tough to beat this place.
You know, with Rob going to the bathroom, it's like we're doing the Jerk Show again.
That'll take you back.
Come on, it's the Jerk Show.
2010, Mark, when you did the show here for about a year with Jessica Hall right here in Las Vegas. And I'm sure probably you can find some of those shows out in the ether somewhere, right?
And Rob asked about Jess, and Jess is doing great in Florida. People forget that. I can say what I want about Jess. I think she's supremely talented. And, yeah, I can't believe that was now 6 years ago. That's unbelievable. This is the Parker and the Man Special Edition Podcast 2017, and we're live, at least taping live, at La Comida Restaurant on 6th Street and Fremont in Las Vegas, the downtown district, downtown the Fremont Street Experience.
Is Motors Auction still in business?
I don't know if it is, Bernie, but I know that with a light of your smoke and a crack of your joke,
Bob Bauer?
Bob Bauer.
Was that Bob Bauer?
Who?
Motors Auction.
The guy's name?
Yeah.
No, Gary something. Gary.
The one who's quick with a joke and light of your smoke?
No, it wasn't Bob
Bauer. He did a remote out there.
Nicest guy in the world.
Bob Bauer's our guy from 97. Bob Bauer still does the thing.
Noogie Bauer?
Not Bob Noogie Bauer. He's passed.
But Bob Newton,
I didn't even know he was sick.
He's gone.
Back then, he was like old then. I mean, Remember when we finally met Bob Noogie Bauer, remember?
Well, he's gone now.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, he was
nice
older than
guy.
That.
He was great.
No, it was a great, did us a solid.
By the way, Pete Stoyanovich, if you're listening.
Kickers?
That's we did a show there at Kickers. And he says, I got a cheeseburger for you on the house, and you never got your cheeseburger.
You know what?
You don't know what that, and here's what's funny. You know, I remember that because.
That's true. I don't remember.
January 2006, before Super Bowl 40, which we hosted in. Well, we didn't. I didn't, but we were there in Detroit. That was cool. I'm sorry. Super Bowl 40.
That was a great week.
Pittsburgh and Seattle. Great week.
It was a great week.
So, a couple guys, Mitch Moss here and Paulie Howard, they did their show Gridlock from Kickers in Detroit that same week we were there. And who knew?
That's hard to believe. That's 11 years ago now, the 06 Super Bowl 40 XL.
Pittsburgh, Seattle.
Pittsburgh and Seattle. And by the way, if you get a chance, Detroit, the NFL Network does these great pieces, the timeline pieces and the football life pieces. Yeah. The piece on Jerome Bettis, his football life piece, is great television.
You know the one I'm looking forward to the
That's
most?
It's all about going back home for the Super Bowl.
Back, man, this one. I'm looking forward to when they're coming out with their Pro Football Life, Joe Barry.
You think I would be in that? You think I'm in that at all?
There'll never be a Football Life of Joe Barry.
No, there won't be.
You got a better chance of Joe Barry Carroll getting a Football Life.
Oh, Purdue. Joe Barry cares.
Joe Barry cares.
Yeah, that would be your Purdue Boilermaker.
But in that Super Bowl, Morton Anderson showed up, my boy Morton from MSU. He is up for the NFL. He's finally a finalist for the Hall of Fame. And it's my opinion that the NFL's all-time leading scorer should be in the Hall of Fame. I know that number is not like a significant number. I think it's 25-44, and it's not known by a lot of people. But Morton is the all-time leading scorer, and I hope he gets in. I know he's a kicker. Played till he was like 48 years old.
Yeah.
He'll play for the Saints, the Falcons. Kansas City.
Speaking of Hall of Fame.
Well, I want Morton to get into the Hall of Fame. Big time.
We should also do like a really quick segment on the Baseball Hall of Fame. The vote's coming down on the 18th or 19th. And I'm just curious.
You're assuming this will be posted somewhere in a week. Okay, fine. Go. No, I'm go.
I hope it's posted soon.
Well, I just thought about it today.
Ray will post it tomorrow.
I just thought about
it.
I have to get it to him. How did you vote?
I was going to ask you that anyhow. I wasn't going to say how. I would rather us talk about a couple of guys and whether or not you think they fit in, rather than just going through my.
All right.
And the guy, I guess, Vladdy and Tim Raines are the two guys, and I respect your baseball knowledge as much as mine. All three of us are
Vladimir Guerrero, you mean?
Yeah.
What about Pudge too, by the way?
Well, Pudge should get in. I mean, if you're just going by, if. I mean, I'm going to vote the way I've always voted, which is those guys never got busted, never got suspended, so I can't, how can I not
no
vote
No test
for them?
On record by Major
right.
League Baseball.
I mean, even though he was in the book, and I get it, you know.
But the Jose Canseco book should not be the end-all, be-all.
No. But anyway, my point is the two guys I thought had the biggest, no, three. And I would like to see what you guys think.
Okay.
Bagwell, Reigns, and Vladimir Guerrero. Those are the three.
All right, start with Bernie.
Out there, Bernie. I'd like to just, well.
Yay or nay, and you're.
Okay, let's begin with the basics. How many of them have 500 home runs?
Of those three, none.
You got right, or 3,000 hits?
None.
So this is where the discussion begins. And you're always juxtaposed against your current class. Those guys deserve Hall of Fame votes. Where I thought you were going with it, Rob, was Bonds, Clemens, McGuire, because I've made peace with it. We are in 2017 now. When you look back to 1998, when Sosa and McGuire had the chase, and it revived baseball, and everybody winked and looked the other way. It was a replay of the 20s after the Black Sox scandal, and Babe Ruth saved baseball. The long ball, Chicks dig the long ball, saved baseball. And where I finally made peace with it, is if Barry Bonds stepped into the box, the likelihood is of facing a pitcher who may or may not have been juiced, and signals were called by a catcher who may or may not have been juiced, and if he hit a ball in the gap, it was likely chased down by a center fielder who may or may not have been juiced. They just happened to be at the head of the Mount Rushmore.
Bernie, 100, I'm with you 100%. If we were to go back to that era and tested everybody in the game, I guarantee
we know that now.
75% of those guys would be on it. Right, Mark?
Absolutely.
I love our spring training shows because, Rob, it would be freezing in Detroit. Rob would go down to spring training, And I'll never forget, I want to say it was spring training 2006. We were still on the air. And you called up and said, guess who got busted? Alex freaking Sanchez, okay?
It was 05.
Built like a blood donor. And
he was the first one.
So what that led me to believe was that you can't necessarily tell by body type who's juicing and who's not.
Because that stuff doesn't help you. And I'm talking about, you still have to work out with. It's not a magical elixir that people
think. Let's not even get into this, because I already said it's in concert with workout. Sanchez was the first. The second was Rafael Palmeiro, which is why, in my opinion, Palmeiro should never get in, because he does have a positive test on record with Major League Baseball. Okay. Manny Ramirez also has two positive tests.
I haven't mentioned Manny because I didn't vote for him. But
he just signed on again. He's going to play again.
He's going to go play in Korea, or say, yeah.
Okay, age 44.
Give me those three and then Mark.
Bonds?
No.
Bagwell, Vladimir Guerrero, and Rock Reigns.
Don't think too hard. Just give me your...
Well, we always say, if you have to think hard...
Reigns, yes, because of his base stealing proficiency. He was part of some great teams of the Expos in the early 80s. He was the consummate leadoff man. I'm going to give him a nod. Vladimir Guerrero, no. I thought he was a defensive liability, even though he had a cannon of an arm. Jeff Bagwell, yes. Bagwell's what, a 330 career lifetime average or some ridiculous thing?
No, it's not that high.
Not that high. My feeling...
Bagwell's a junior version of Craig Biggio, right?
Well, that's...
No, Biggio has 3,000 hits.
He's got 3,000, and he didn't get in the first year.
He didn't get... That's the difference.
He's the first guy with 3,000...
Who didn't get in.
That didn't have a steroid record on tap.
All right, Mark?
Yes.
He's got the 3,000.
He should have gotten in.
I can't pull Vlad in. I'm jaded because I remember the years he was with the Angels, and I thought he was a defensive liability. He was a corner...
He's got a 318 lifetime, I think.
He deserves votes.
Something like that.
Close.
He deserves Hall of Fame votes. I mean, if you're asking me about Tom Verizer, what are we talking about? But Vladimir Guerrero deserves Hall of Fame votes. But you're going to have 70%.
75.
Mark, ahead. Give me those three.
Okay, it's very simple for me. Tim Raines, absolutely. I've said it since the day he became a voting eligible. Vladimir Guerrero, great career. Jeff Bagwell, great career. No. I don't feel that they should be Hall of Famers. Some guys are on the cusp, Rob. Some guys, not everybody on the cusp. Fred McGriff is on the cusp. He's not getting in.
And he's got 491, right?
A few homers away from the magic 500, which would have, I think, put him in. I mean, obviously, Gary Sheffield's not in with the 500 because of the steroid.
The implication of it with Bonds, remember that, right?
He wasn't suspended by Major League Baseball.
Never suspended, no test, nothing.
So my feel is that, and there are people that say, well, because Biggio's in, and that's his partner in crime, and went, well, they did play 20 years or thereabouts with the Astros. I don't think that's a reason I'm putting them in the Hall of Fame.
But Biggio has 3,000 hits. I think that's a game changer to me.
Well, yeah, I'm not questioning Biggio.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but when people try to make the same argument for Bagwell, he doesn't have that.
No, doesn't have the magic number. 3,500, 300. That's how it works.
Yes.
Jack Morris isn't in because he didn't get to 300.
He didn't get to 300. He would have been in.
He would have been in with 300. Early Wynn had 300 exactly, got in. Would Early Wynn have been there 290? Maybe back then. Back then, they were sticking a lot of guys in.
Mike Mussina, Mark, he's not a hook. You think Mike Mussina's a hook?
He has a hook, though, Rob.
What's his hook?
He's the only
guy. He never won a Cy Young.
I understand that.
He never won a Cy Young.
Listen to me. He's the only guy right now eligible for the Hall of Fame that's not in the Hall of Fame that's 100 games or more over 500 for his career.
That sounds nice, but that's not a...
Not a good enough hook for you.
That's not a good enough... I said Mike Mussina's not a Hall of... He was very good.
I would put him in.
Never won a Cy Young. Okay, so those three guys you just mentioned. Bernie said he put two in, right? Who'd he say?
He said... Everybody but Vlad Guerrero.
All right. Mark said...
I say no to Bagwell, no to Guerrero, yes to Tim Raines.
You ready?
Yes.
No Raines, no Vladdy, and no...
Bagwell.
How about, all right.
Let's blow this up. How about Table for One, also known as Curt Schilling? You put him in?
No.
No. They're not all.
There are guys with better numbers that aren't in.
Won a lot of big. It's okay. Okay.
Jack Moore, I am not.
Well, Jack Moore should be in. Mickey Lolan should be in.
Jack Moore shouldn't be in. Let's Jack Morris never won a Cy Young, Bernie. And he also would have the highest
ERA at 390.
No. Highest ERA of anybody in the Hall of Fame. Jack Morris.
Would have been 390.
Okay, Rob. Jack, come on. Jack Morris. a key cog for the 84 Tigers, the Blue Jays, and Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Big game pitchers, okay, of all time. Now remember, it's the Hall of Fame. Now we get hung up on statistics, we get hung up, and I think what they should be, the statistic aspect of it, should be a guideline, not an inflexible anchor. Opening the door, Don Drysdale's got 209 victories. Lolich has more strikeouts, less walk, a lower ERA, and more victories. And Lolich is not in the Hall of Fame, and Don
Drysdale's ERA wasn't 390.
Right.
Games in the World Series.
I'm telling you.
Then he should be Hall of Fame for that World
and
Series.
Bernie, you know what clouds it for a lot of people? This is what clouds it. And Mark knows, as we talk about all the time. There's a lot of guys who got in by Veterans Committee.
Back in the day.
That's why they stopped it. And that's why there's a cloud. And like, because you say, well, how did Pee Wee Reese and Phil Rizzuto get in, but Alan Trammell didn't get in? You know how? They got in through Veterans Committee. The writers never voted for those guys. I could give you a list of people. Who was the old broadcaster, the third baseman for the Tigers?
George Kell. Don't rip on poor George Kell.
George Kell is a Veterans Committee. Ralph Kiner, Veterans Committee. I could go on and on and on.
Well, they were going to put Kiner in until they saw a couple of versions of Kiner's corner.
Oh,
that was
there
it.
There you go. Oh, stop. Stop with that.
All right, look. I want to do one more thing. What? You got something?
I have one final statement. Might be seen in Baltimore?
You went with Mussina too?
Oh, not in that year. I can't. I'm sorry.
100 games over 500. The only guy not in the Hall of Fame with that number.
No Cy Young. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have anything else.
One Cy Young would have made a difference for
yes.
you.
Yes.
One.
To be at one point, you got to win a major award for me. That's why okay. Piazza for all. Everybody voted for Piazza. I didn't vote for Piazza.
I got 500 home runs.
Who?
Piazza.
No. Not close. Not close to 500.
Not close.
Good night, folks. You've been a great audience. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't forget to tip your...
Guys right now not in that are eligible with 500 are Rafael Palmeiro and the
McGuire.
Steroid guys. And Sammy
right,
Sosa
and, guys,
and
right.
Barry Bonds,
the
steroid
guys. Even, I'm going to tell you, had Dave Kingman hit 500 home runs, he probably wouldn't have got in. His lifetime batting average mark is what, 232?
230, so he hit 442, I think.
He hit 442, but I don't think he would have got in.
I don't think... He might have been the first guy
right?
to not get in with that number.
The Bash Brothers, boy. Wow.
His last year with the Cubs, what did he hit?
Well, his last year he set a record. Dave Kingman's last year was with the Oakland, 35 and 100.
And then he was done. He was out of the game.
He left the game after 35 and 100 with the Oakland A's.
But let me tell you, he's the ultimate dirtbag, though.
Everybody hated him.
You know
everybody hated Kingman.
What, Susan Fornoff, the reporter for who covered the Giants?
Dump water on her, too?
No, you know what she know what he did?
What?
Sent her a box with a bow on it up to the press box.
Oh, I know what was in it.
Was
I'm not
going to...
Go ahead.
You didn't notice, Mark?
I know what was in it.
I think I do.
It was
but
a dead rat.
Yeah, I thought it was a dead animal of some sort.
What guy would send a dead rat to a woman in a box with a bow? You got to be a creep.
Well, that's Dave Kingman.
I think it was Susan Ford.
And you know what? He never even tried to correct that over the years. He still... He just...
Is he still alive?
I think he's still... He's just alive, but he just...
There's your call.
2017 Kingman, where are you?
When he played for the Mets, Sky King, he broke his thumb diving for a ball in short right field. And I think 1976 or 77, he had 31 home runs at the All-Star break.
You know what Dave Kingman has? One distinction. Played baseball at USC for the legendary Rod Dedeaux. Dedeaux claims he's the best player he ever coached ever. That's saying a lot because not only did he hit about 400, He pitched.
He actually pitched a few games in the majors, too, the Giants.
What was
he
6'7 or 9?
About 6'7. 6'7.
6'7. He's a big dude. They should call him Sky King.
He was a Cub for a couple of years. He had 48 home runs.
He had a couple of years. No, he was a Cub for a while.
It was only a couple of years.
Yeah.
Then they couldn't stand him anymore, even after a 48 home run season.
The Yankees, the Red Sox,
Padres.
The Giants. I mean, he was just one of those guys that nobody wanted to
win. He'd fall out of bed and strike out, dude. He struck out more than Rob Deere. That's
pretty
nice.
Close.
He could hit the long ball, though.
Most of it was feast or famine with Kingman. All right, here's what. So I thought we would do one more topic that's kind of relevant. It'd be fun to do. Okay, because we got a really interesting situation in the old Detroit stomping grounds. So here's the deal. You got your four major teams. So you got Jeff Blashill with the Wings, Stan Van Gundy with the Pistons, Jim Caldwell with the Lions, and Brad Ausmus. Who's going to be the first of those four to go? Rob Parker. First of the four guys, because they're all, there's all an issue with four, all four of them. So it's a pretty interesting question, I think. Who's going to be the first to go of those four guys?
I think Brad, hold on.
Who wants to go first?
I think Brad Ausmus will be fired this summer.
During the season?
I think, we know Jim Caldwell's got 1 year left, so he's coming back. Stan Van, as bad as things are, I think that they would maybe go hire a general manager and give him, you know, and just say, just concentrate on coaching, so that would give him a reprieve.
Have Tom Gores separate the two things.
This was a bad idea, man. It's a bad idea. We just want you to coach and not be the GM.
You can't, just because you're buying the groceries doesn't mean you're cooking the dinner.
And Blashill, I think they're going to give him a little rope. They got a young team. That streak was going to come to an end, you know, and I know they're bad. So I'm going to say that. I say it's
Ausmus.
Bernie?
Well, I agree with you, but with an asterisk, because Bob Quinn, the new president of the Detroit Lions, I don't think he's really down with Caldwell, and next year the Lions' schedule is brutal. So they're looking at 6-10, and I do think next year will be Caldwell's last year with the Lions. So the question then becomes whether or not they relieve Brad Ausmus of his duties midseason. And so it becomes a little...
Is Lloyd McClendon still sitting there?
He's in, and he got... You know, he got promoted to hitting coach now.
Right.
They moved him because Wally
McClendon is there.
Right, Wally Joyner
is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joyner. Wally World left this.
They said that it was his choice, but...
Well, since he didn't get the job he wanted, I don't know if it was his choice now.
Well, listen.
What about this guy?
Let's give a shout-out to our...
I think Omar's still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Let's give a shout-out to our good friend Art Regner, because I just brought this up on a radio show 2 weeks ago. Remember Wayne Fonts, Captain Wayno, groan and growl. Get rid of Wayne
get
now.
Rid of
get
Wayne
rid of
now.
Wayne later. Those were the days in the Millen March. So, look, you're not going to tolerate.
Millen Man March.
By the way, Art
Regner
just posted.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Hold on. Regner just posted on Facebook a back page of the Red Wings like program from 98. And there we are in the morning. Picture of us.
What?
Yeah, it was a picture of us. There's Greg and Jamie. There's Stoney and Woj, sports doctors Terry and Art, and thank God Terry's back, and shout out to T-Foss,
right.
That Terry's back on the air, and hopefully doing great.
He was gone for 5 months or something.
Stroke, and I hope that he's back.
He had
and
two strokes, Bernie.
You know, knocking on the wood there for you, Terry, and I hope it's a long run now and for, you know, many, many moons. But he posted that just recently, and people were all, of course, oh, those were the days. DFN in 97, 98, 90 of those years. So Art just did that.
Well, Art's a big part of the Detroit tapestry. This is my final statement. This is what I wanted to say. Very fortunate to have been on the airwaves in Detroit from 95 to 2008. Here's why I hold it in such high esteem, and not the least of which work with you guys. But the bottom line is this. Think about all the things that took place.
Let me do my thing, and then you can do your wrap-up.
Go ahead.
Let me pick a thing, and then that'll be good for a wrap-up. So here's my thing. All right, so you guys, because this is interesting to me. So you're both going with Ausmus, is that right?
Assuming he is fired mid-season.
Because he would have to be before Caldwell. He doesn't start. Caldwell doesn't start till September.
Okay.
So you know what I'm saying?
Now here's my thing. This Wings thing, as you said, is going to end. They're not going to make the playoffs. I said that even on Ron Cameron's show. I said it weeks before the season. I said this will not be a year. The Wings, after 25 years of making the postseason, that ride will end. They'll finally have a top 10 pick, hopefully, for the first time since 91, when they picked Marty LaPointe in 91.
Yeah.
I go with Marty. Marty LaPointe, 91, because I know him so well, which I do.
Yeah.
But they're moving to the new place. They're going to the LCA. Last year, Joe Louis Arena. I say this. I think Ken Holland is safe as all safe can be. I don't think he's going anywhere, especially with Mike Ilitch. We don't know his health situation.
I think it's Golden Knights.
Wait a second. What about the Vegas Golden Knights?
Ken Holland want to come here? Hey!
Well, Ken Holland, there already is a GM. George McPhee.
Yeah. But, I know about it. George is a great guy.
Well, George McPhee is the GM I've been hoping for a long time.
Washington Capitals, only the goalie. We've talked about it.
No, I think Ken Holland's name came up over a course of time to come here to Vegas to do it, but now they got McPhee. They got a great supporting. But I'm getting off. I digress.
Sorry.
I think they want to move into that new building with a new guy. And I think Jeff Blashill, the two-year deal will be done. And I think, so that could be as early as April, almost before the Tigers get started. Hang on. Having some water here at La Comida. And I think the new head coach will be Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant
became available because they
right.
Well,
Florida did not do him a solid.
I'll reference another old Rob Parker oldie but a goodie, a very goodie. The saddest thing about the new arena is that Gordie Howe won't be there signing flat items for
$75 for all flat
items. That is sad.
We lost Gordie.
Oh, we lost Gordie. But I think, I'm not so sure Blasher will make it through this year. It's only January. This team is hovering around the last place in the Eastern Conference.
Well, they're very goal-scoring challenged, you know.
For years now, yeah. Bernie.
All of
for
a sudden,
years.
I mean, I think Keith Primo could come back and start for the
easy. Team. Soft.
He could.
they're gonna struggle again to get a 20-goal scorer and a 50-point guy for like the third straight year, while Sidney Crosby's already got 30 goals or something for the season. So here's my thing. I think that for the new arena, what a thing it would be to trot out Gerard Gallant, who had the best regular season in Florida Panthers history, which wasn't real hard, but he still did it, and then they did not do him right, leaving him on the side of the road after a game when they got rid of
reference?
Him.
They left him they,
right by the side of the road, watched the world go by, and a former Red Wing, Spuds, was a very popular player. He's had a couple of shots now. He's done pretty well in Florida, did it at Columbus. I think he's the next Wings coach. It could be as early as April.
That's not far-fetched. I hear you.
Because Caldwell, you're right, it's going to probably make it through the year. Because Quinn's buying himself another year, like Matt Millen did the 1 year with Marty.
Now, if that were to happen, could they
I'm sorry, that Matt Millen didn't do when he should have kept Gary Moeller.
Bring back Darren McCarty and his band Grinder to do the...
that would be great.
The Canadian version of the National Anthem.
Drapes is still in the organization. Chris Draper's still...
I understand him and Claude Lemieux do autograph sessions now.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Together?
By the way, March 20... Oh, my God. You want to feel old? March 26th, dude.
20-year
anniversary.
20th anniversary of the big fight.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's...
I'll have to put that on my calendar.
That's kind of a segue for what I wanted to say.
All right, here you go. Go ahead. That's my pick.
Wrap it up for us.
I've got to wrap it up. We've already gone 46-55.
So, when you look at what took place the years between 95 and 08... the Red Wings in 97 and 98 with Stanley Cups and 02. 06, the Tigers not only made the World Series, the Lions hosted the Super Bowl, at Ford Field. The All-Star Game, 2005 July at Comerica Park when Bobby Abreu hit 45 home runs.
That was a great 3 days.
I still have the mirror.
Then you've got Tom Izzo, 2000. Winning the Michigan State's national championship, almost losing to Larry.
The last one that he's won.
Don't even start with the Izzo thing.
I can't. When the Colorado State Rams, coached by Larry Eustace, come into this building once a year, I cannot look at him and not think of that day at the Palace where he had the triple meltdown because Iowa State, with Marcus Fizer and Jamal Tinsley, led Michigan State, and it could have easily beaten them.
Didn't Eustace just win his 500th game, too?
He just won his 500th game the other night. So when you look at all the events in Michigan with their full national championship in football in 1997 when Brian Griese and Charles Woodson, even though Danny Sheridan said Nebraska would have been a 7-point favorite, MSU winning a hockey championship, Michigan Red Berenson winning the championship.
Actually, you're right. I could have put Harbaugh, D'Antonio, Berenson, and Tom Anastas in that group, and who's to be the first one gone?
You could have. Now, one last thing. So why do I bring all this up? The two nights I remember more than any of the probably 300 shows we've done together. June 8, 2005, the Palazzo Dabachi tournament, Steve Mariucci. Tom Izzo literally sat on my lap. We were so close. It was a cavalcade of stars that night. But the big one, Mark, November 19, 2004, the Malice at the Palace. And we were on the air that night.
We were on the air when it happened.
And a year later, when Ron Artest came back to do his community service, you reached out to his people. And Artest couldn't have been nicer. I'll never forget that night.
What? What are you asking me?
Oh, I don't know. All I heard was Cleveland Indians.
He played for the Cleveland Indians.
Ooh, what's his name?
Something Rogers. I didn't hear the first name.
The Cleveland Indians?
Yeah.
Is that Rocky Colavito?
No.
What's his name?
No, stop.
I want to know who it is.
What's his name?
Well, I mean, if he said he was up for Hall of Fame by 10 years.
No.
What years was he there?
I don't know.
All right, we'll do it after the podcast is over.
Wrap it up.
I'm wrapping it. Rob, right. Final thoughts. You can watch you on Fox Sports 1.
Right, and listen on Fox Sports Radio Saturdays, 1 to 4 p.m. Easter time.
Rob still. Hey, wrap it up already. Let's get out of here.
1-4, 1-4, and
a lot, maybe a couple, three times a week with Skip and Shannon, undisputed.
Yeah. You know, anywhere from 3 to 5, depending on what's going on.
Like we used to be reporting live.
Right, from wherever I was, from Las Vegas, Nevada. And another thing is, I got Green Bay over Dallas on Sunday.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't want to get into football because I didn't know if this was going to be on. I didn't want to get you wrong.
Okay,
I'm wrapping it up, and you can catch me right at the corner of Flamingo and Vegas Boulevard. I'm handing out those stripper cards.
You got to pop them. When
you got. I got the popping on the stripper cards. That's where you can catch my act.
Remember, yeah, I used to close on the show. Hey, Katy Perry, call me.
Cher, because she's coming back in February to the brand new Park Theater. Call me. Cher. Residency. Cher. Can you believe that? 70 years old and doing another residency.
Call me. Cher.
Do I really want to have Cher call me? Anyhow, thank you for listening to the podcast. Maybe we'll do this again when Rob comes into Las Vegas. Thank you, Bernie Fratto. Check him out on ESPN 1100 every so often. Rebel Extra on ESPN 1100. That's the lvsportsnetwork.com. You can still reach us at parkerandtheman@yahoo.com. We still have that. And our Parker and the Man Twitter page. And Rob has his own Twitter, and Bernie has his own Twitter. I still work off the Parker and the Man page. I never had my own because I wanted to be exclusively hidden so that people wouldn't find me. He's Rob Parker.
And he is the man, Mark Wilson.
See you next time on the Parker and the Man podcast, 2017 special edition. Well, we think something like that.
Steven, what's up, buddy?
I want to get our picture.